Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLeavy welcoming you to our time together. This is the season of Lent, and so this morning we're going to have a message out of the Gospel of Mark. I've entitled it, The Cost of Following Jesus. It's what we have to think about in terms of denying ourselves. It's a term that Jesus uses as he is helping his disciples understand what it means to be a follower of his. And so we're going to look at that in the context of the Lenten season when we are reflecting on our own lives. And this morning we also have a great song that Alan Best has prepared for us entitled Your Name, a song by Ben Ward. So I hope you'll enjoy our time together and that you'll be blessed by hearing God's word. So as we prepare now to hear God's word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this season of Lent. We thank you for what it means for us to reflect on our lives, for us to come to grips with perhaps things in our lives that we need to change. Give us the courage, Lord, to make those changes that are according to your will. And we pray now that you will be with us as we hear your word proclaimed. Open our hearts and our minds. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. This is a time when Jesus is with his disciples. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. For us to fully appreciate this passage from the Gospel of Mark, we need to understand what has happened to Jesus and his disciples leading up to this point. Now first, Jesus has begun his ministry by being baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Then he began 40 days in the desert, being tempted by Satan. And we know from the Gospel of Matthew that he asked his disciples who people think he is. And they respond, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And then he asks the disciples themselves, "But what do you say? What about you? "Who do you say I am?" And as you know, Simon Peter got the answer right when he proclaimed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was at this point that Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter," and that is the Greek word Petra, which means rock. He says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Yes, you see, Jesus has affirmed Simon Peter as the one who will lead the church of Jesus Christ, because Jesus knows of his own impending death and resurrection. So how in the world did Peter go from being called the rock to being called Satan? Well, clearly Jesus did not really view Peter as Satan, but this is a reference to Jesus' time in the wilderness when he was being tempted by Satan. You remember Satan kept offering Jesus the easy way out. Remember, he was saying, "If you're hungry, you know, turn these rocks into bread, or throw yourself from the top of the tallest steeple, and the angels will catch you so that you will not be injured." And then Satan said to him, "Look at all of this kingdom. It will all be yours if you will only worship me." Jesus knew that there was no easy way out. Jesus knew what suffering lay ahead for himself. And so when Peter rebuked Jesus, he was clearly suggesting to Jesus that he would not have to suffer and be rejected and ultimately die. He was hoping there would be an easier way out. And that is when Jesus responded, "Get behind me, Satan." He had rebuked Satan's offer of the easy way out, and now he was rebuking Simon Peter. So here we are in the season of Lent. As we move toward the cross and prepare ourselves for the resurrection, there's no question that self-denial is a central theme for these days. For a lot of people, Lenten self-denial means merely giving up chocolate or some other earthly pleasure. But when we probe deeper, we hear that self-denial is central to the story of Jesus. It is a central theme in the passage we just heard. Jesus tells his disciples he's going to suffer and die. This is the first of three occasions when he says it. 8 chapters into the Gospel of Mark, the secret is out that Jesus, who saves, will suffer. The one who confronts every kind of evil will die because of evil. Jesus will deny himself and pick up a cross. He chooses to save the world, even if it means losing his life. But the word which is even more difficult to hear is the word Jesus says to all of us. "If any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me." The road Jesus took is the only road available for anyone who chooses to follow him. And this is not an easy word for us to hear. There are three imperatives here. First is deny yourself. The second is take up your cross. And the third is follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So what are we going to do about this? Well, Jesus says, deny yourselves. You know, it's difficult for some people to even hear that word when they've had so much taken away. I mean, how can people in poverty believe that it's a virtue to give up what little dignity they have? How can the downtrodden ever hear this obligation of the gospel? Well, sometimes we need to claim the love and dignity of God and then see what happens. For you see, when Jesus says, deny yourself, he is telling us to stop putting ourselves first. Stop trying to control our lives without God. Stop assuming that we can figure everything out without giving a thought to God's will. For those who struggle to feel empowered, for those who believe for the first time in their lives they are worthy of love and appreciation, it can be harsh to hear Jesus say, deny yourself. But giving ourselves away for the message of Jesus Christ is the mark of a true disciple. Today I want to suggest that the best way to hear these words is to hear them within the entire context of Mark's gospel. According to Mark, Jesus is the strong servant of God. He comes to make a constructive difference in the world. Jesus is the strong servant, and he comes to make he comes to confront every force that disturbs and destroys human life. And throughout this gospel, he is sent by God to give back dignity to all who have it taken away. Picture the leper who was segregated from the community by his disease. Jesus restores him to health and community. See the woman who lives on the fringe of town suffering from a hemorrhage. Jesus heals her and gives her a name. Look at the sinner who cannot undo the effects of his misdeeds. Well, Jesus forgives. Jesus cancels all his debts with God. So listen, Mark tells us how Jesus comes to give worth and value, not to take it away. Following Jesus means two things. First, we become his disciples. That means we put ourselves in the position to learn from him. We give up the illusion that we are experts in leading our own lives. We revise our personal agendas, and we learn from Jesus. And second, if we follow Jesus, that means we will engage in the same work that Jesus has been doing, which is to say, we will speak out against hatred. We will feed the hungry and heal the sick. We will speak the truth. We will touch the untouchable, forgive the unforgivable, and love the unlovable. We will do God's work in the world just like Jesus. As one New Testament scholar reminds us, the members of Mark's community are not called to suffer. They are called to preach the gospel. And because of the confrontational nature of that calling, the world they confront will persecute them in order to stop them. Suffering is the result of the call, but not the call itself. So friends, we don't wake up every morning and say, how am I going to let the world beat me up today? No, but we are called upon to get out of bed and to ask, how can I let the whole world know that the life of Jesus is the hope of the world? Jesus says, come, follow me. Now, that does not mean that we will intentionally put ourselves in positions where we will be put down or be in danger. But it does mean that we will take God more seriously than we take ourselves. In one of the books that was written by John Calvin, he said that self-denial is the sum of the Christian life. He claimed that it is the heart of true piety, the basis of generous stewardship, and the source of our helpfulness to our neighbors. Denying ourselves in this context means that we hold back because we have put God's purposes before our own. It's the kind of spiritual discipline, says Calvin, that erases from our minds the yearning to possess, the desire for power, and the desire for the favor of others. True self-denial uproots our ambition and all craving for human glory. And why? Because it means we choose to put God's ways before our own pursuits. We choose to follow Jesus and to do his work, and nothing else will ever come before it. So follow me. Pick up your cross. Deny yourself. During these days of Lent, this is his invitation. It never means that we give up our dignity, but it does mean that we will take on the mantle of faithfulness. We will speak as Jesus speaks. We will act as Jesus has come to act. And if a cross is given to us, we will not carry it alone, for Jesus Christ is risen. To the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, let us worship as we hear Alan Vest perform Your Name, a song by Ben Ward, today arranged and performed by Alan Vest. Here is Your Name.
Make it out alive. When I hear your name whispered, shouted, crying full of pain. When I hear your name, everything's changed. When I say your name, I see you wrongs made right. When I say your name, if I whisper, if I shout it, if I sing, it's the same. Everything's changed. If so, is right or much at stake. All I need to hear is your name. All I need to say is your name.
Thanks to Alan for that great song. Friends, during this season of Lent, take a time during this coming week to sit and reflect for just a moment on what it truly means to follow Jesus. We know from our scripture passage today that there are really three things that Jesus calls his disciples to do: deny yourself, take up your cross, and to follow him. But what that truly means is that we not put ourselves first, but to look to God and to seek God's will. And then we go out and live a life that brings glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good thing to think about this coming week, and as we look forward to the next couple of weeks leading to Holy Week, it will give us greater inspiration to truly understand what the journey to the cross meant for Jesus Christ. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.